joining us live from the Front Porch Cafe for the season finale of Cubicle Cast.
Man,
Hunter, what a journey we have been on.
We have been on a journey, Paul. We've traveled the whole country, the whole world.
The whole world.
We've eaten sandwiches.
We've explored houses in the Lost episode.
Gosh.
You know, good stuff. So, I'm excited. You know, we realized that the end of the year was nigh.
And
we realized, man, we have to have a season finale.
Yes, of course we do.
And so Hunter actually departs on a jet plane in T-minus, like,
12 hours.
I am.
And then she's not back for weeks.
And then I'm literally, like, just becoming a little jet setter, so.
It was now or never.
It really
was. Therefore,
it's
now.
Really bad.
Go for it. We have two special guests today, which may or may not make this a workable episode. There's Timothy and Bella. They have been on Cubicle Cast before.
People will remember Timothy talking about the lava gun, which gets men. It's from a classic episode. Way back at our first resident retreat, Paul.
By the way, this episode is brought to you by the lava gun. If you're going on a date and you want to go with someone, you should invest in a lava gun.
So
a few things are going to happen this episode. We put the call out for anyone who wants to pop in. We may pull some people in, but we're also going to reflect on just this season. Some of the best moments, some of the worst moments.
Yeah.
We've got some responses from some folks. And so, you know, just starting off, one thing we learned after the last episode is Josiah, who moved on to things that he thought were better than us, in his new job is banned from using phones.
For real?
Or he can't have his phone on or out or something.
Oh, did you see the new word?
Well, so that brings us to a segment we like to call Josiah Says What, which is a written in response. Hunter.
Yeah. He said, my word is Chet internships.
Hunter, what is that?
Chet internships are a place, you know, it's a thing that you can take if you're sad, scared, confused, don't know what to do with your future, want to do something meaningful. Chet internships, it could be for you. There's a video on YouTube about it.
Now, if you haven't seen the video,
you really should.
It's worth checking out.
It is
done in the style of prescription medication commercial.
Gosh, gotta love it.
And, Becca, Josiah, and William J. Chapman III have a feature role in it. But
so
Josiah, he plays it up big.
Yeah, he really does.
So,
man,
Josiah, thank you for that word.
Yeah,
thank you for the mindfulness to provide.
Josiah, shout out to you for a lot of reasons, but also mostly because you got GQ delivered to the office all year, and then did not change your address, even though you claimed it wasn't being sent to you, but it was being addressed to Josiah Day to our office. And GQ is an expensive book. That's just not something that they're like sending out to people that like didn't sign up for it. So I would just like for Josiah to know that Travis and Kylie are on the front cover.
It's definitely not an office-friendly cover. I'm just going to be honest with you, especially at a ministry.
It's pretty funny.
But what can you do?
Yeah, you just reply, to the message. But it's great, you know? Gosh, Paul, what are some of your favorite moments looking back at the Cubicle Cast?
You know, I feel like there's a number of ways we can go about this. We can do straight-up favorite.
Yeah.
We can also create some... Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Arbitrary categories. And so, you know, I have a few thoughts, but I do want to share some write-ins that we got. Unfortunately, a couple of our biggest fans, Stacey Weir and Jackie Griggs, couldn't be with us today.
Honestly, heartbreaking.
Naps for kids and vacation, respectively. But
yes.
Stacey says one of her favorite things was the witty banter between the hosts.
Wow.
Hey, thanks, Stacey.
We're witty. Shout out to Stacey.
You're as Orlando would say, you're a real one.
Yeah. You're a real OG in this podcast, Stacey.
I'm sure other people say that, but Orlando says it a lot.
Yeah.
Shout out to Orlando, I Am Sun.
Right. Honestly, good album.
He's a solid guy. And then we just... Oh, wow, yeah. So Kyra Fontaine, whose book comes out soon. Super excited about that.
She's writing an incredible book.
Tell us about that book again.
Man, it's a book called The Year I Lived with Seven White Girls, and it's her rendition and take on living with seven white girls. So it's pretty exciting.
I will say another category is episodes we are most disappointed didn't happen, and we did have an episode planned with Tyra to talk about her book,
Man,
and her reflection.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So, Tyra says, definitely her favorite moment was definitely the first episode when Hunter couldn't make it through the phone call.
That was the worst. That was my most unprofessional moment of my work history, and it was recorded and then put on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it was there for all time.
Yeah, I would
and
say,
so,
yeah. Go listen to episode one. It's a good one.
I mean, it was, that's when we knew we had landed on something special.
Yes, agreed.
Partly because it was so special in and of itself. Also partly because PeopleCast wasn't banned
right.
after that moment.
Yeah, wasn't banned.
It's definitely from nowhere.
Definitely short list for favorite moments for me.
Absolutely.
Come from nowhere.
Timothy came from nowhere. Kyra also says the headboard debate.
Yeah,
and I thought that was a solid...
On the pizza party episode.
That was the pizza party episode.
It's a good episode, Paul.
And it's, you know, it's one I think got underplayed, which I think is another category I want to hit.
Yeah.
But before we do, you know, we got a special guest with us.
We do.
His name is Shakim Avery.
Hey.
He is a hero among heroes. His birthday is in 16 days, so
16
if you want to get
days.
Him something...
You can just mail it to Front Porch Cafe.
Mm.
Attention Shakim, we'll get it to him. Thanks so much.
My dad works here.
Shakim, what's been one of your favorite things that's happened this year? He's got his ponder face on.
I have no idea. I participated in RBA Fashion Week for the spring.
Mm.
Ooh.
If there is one guy that has style, it is Shakim.
It is.
I got to speak during his graduation, and half of my conversation was about how Shakim has style and I do not. Shakim always looked good in whatever he's got on.
That's untrue.
How did the Fashion Week go?
It was great. I met a lot of cool people, and I'm thinking about doing the fall.
Nice.
But fall is actually, the fall tryouts are my birthday.
Oh, gosh. Sit down, Bella. So you got to decide if that's how you want to spend your birthday.
I'm probably going to go.
You should.
That's very cool.
You can just make it a whole birthday weekend.
Birthday weekend? I'm about, like, birth month.
It's a birthday weekend.
Yeah. I feel so good about it. It's so fun.
Even though I have to be at work. It's birthday week.
Yes, seriously. I love it.
So, Hunter, let me ask you, what is, you know, one of your favorite moments?
Man.
Yeah. She knows hers.
Same. I think my favorite moment, I really, really, really love the Enneagram episode because we, like, actually really prepared for that. And we did so much research and read a lot and thought it was a really cool way to look at how eights and nines can work together.
Yeah. The carrots are all gone, Bella. I'm so sorry. You know, what
if
can you do?
If anyone has carrots, you can ship them to Front Porch Cafe. Attention, Bella. Thank you.
It's brought to you by carrots.
Wow.
If you have a kid and want to share it, you should just give her your last carrot.
That's ranch.
Yeah, I would agree that the Enneagram, that's ranch. You can dip the ranch in there if you want. You can dip your sandwich in the ranch. I'm trying to entertain two kids while I'm running a podcast. I'm feeling good about life. Yeah, that Enneagram episode was really solid. Definitely, yeah, we had, you know, I found Hunter was like, let me print some stuff out.
Yeah.
She printed a book, basically. I found the book the other day. I was like, hey, Hunter, remember this? And I had to, like, hoist it up. You can go get one. You know how to do it. Teaching self-sufficiency to the kids. But yeah, you know, I think it was cool to see, yeah, how different personalities
mm-hmm.
could work together.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, one thing we landed on is how where we align in our personalities are not the norm based on gender.
Yeah.
And the challenges that come with that and how we've had to learn to, you could stay up, learn how to recognize how others may perceive us, and then more importantly, how we can know who we are and live into that.
And how to function in the world in a healthy space and way.
Yeah.
Wait, sometimes they forget about my orders here, and I think that might have happened.
Well, they did come by asking whether it was for here to go earlier. So, we got Timothy and Bella. Bella, is there something you want to say to the microphone?
No.
You don't want to say anything? Okay. Timothy, is there something you want to say?
Where's the microphone?
Right here.
The letter teacher.
Nice. All right, your turn. Bella saying no.
Bella says no thanks.
So here's the next category.
Yeah.
Most underrated moments in cast history.
Underrated.
I'll go first.
Go.
The interview with Tyler McPhillips about acapella.
Right? That's such
nobody,
a good one.
Nobody talks about that, but
man, that's a great one.
That was some good moments.
Yeah, Tyler's awesome.
Shout out to Tyler, Mr. Wonderful.
Seriously, he is. He's so wonderful. I really, really, really love him.
What comes to your mind?
Gosh. I think about underrated moments that not necessarily were like on the podcast, but when every time Jackie and Chan had comments about Cubicle Cast or like just the overall Cubicle Cast vibes, I think what was funny but awesome. And yeah, so I think the riveting support of Jonathan Chan, it's underrated. It might exist. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that is a fun moment for me.
Yeah, shout out to Kendall Irving first for bringing a beautiful looking pizza.
Wow, thank you, Kendall.
Second shout out to Jackie Griggs, who was the first person we knew of that actually downloaded the episode.
To listen to a plane.
Like that's what we knew we had arrived.
It's water chocolate. I'm drinking water chocolate.
Timothy's embedded water chocolate. That's where you finish your hot chocolate. And then you add water to the glass that still has chocolate milk residue in it.
Did you know my orange pop of chocolate milk? Did you put that away?
I don't know. Timothy's wondering if his orange cup of chocolate milk got put away. Well, we'll talk about that. One thing parents know is the tendency to find cups of milk that you don't know how old they are. And the game is the parent has to find it before the kid, because if the parent finds it, they can dispose of it. If the kid finds it, they go for it. Funny story. Let me tell you the first time I learned that milk can go bad.
Wow.
Wait for it. I went to my house last weekend and it had milk in there from June.
Oh.
And it was all solid. And it was so good.
Ooh. Shakim witnessed solid milk that had been left way too long. Well, you know, when I've always been creative. And when I was little, I would make chocolate milk sometimes. And then the Hershey chocolate milk's great, right? And the Hershey squeeze bottle. The Hershey squeeze bottle was empty. Well, I realized, like, it's not actually empty, is it? Like, there's still chocolate inside that bottle. How do you get that goodness out? Well, I realized that was the wrong question. How to get the goodness out was the wrong question. The right question was, how do I maximize what's left? And the answer was, pour milk into the squeeze bottle.
Yes.
Pour it in, you shake it up, and then you get the bonus of squeezing chocolate milk into your mouth. Well, I was so excited. But there is more milk than I could drink in one sitting.
Right.
So what do? You take it with you. So I took it up to my room. Fast forward who knows how many days, I rediscover my bottle of chocolate milk that had been sitting at room temperature for multiple days. Now here's the thing. Normally, if it's a cup, if it's curdled milk in general, like, there's some giveaways. You, like Shakim said, you see it and it looks solid. You see curdles in it, or you smell it. Here's the problem. When you're utilizing a squeeze bottle, you don't get the benefit of sight, and you also don't get the benefit of smell. They're all locked away. And you have the unfortunate element of shooting the liquid into your mouth. So I tipped it up,
I squeezed it, and shot
curdled chocolate milk into my mouth, immediately spit it out, and learned a valuable lesson.
Wow, Paul.
So, I see you, Belle. I want to say I was really, really young, but the truth is, who knows, I might have been like 12, 13, 14. I have no idea.
14?
I hope not.
Shut up.
Let's say I was 2, which isn't true. Hey, we're going to enter a segment called...
Called My Name is Tutu.
My Name is Tutu. Timothy, you need to wipe your face.
Your name is Tutu.
Thanks, I'm Tutu.
No, I'm yours.
By the way, before we enter the segment, we also got another submission. This one's from Becca Pryor. Becca Solid.
I love her.
She's popped in and out. More in the early episodes. One of her favorite moments was when we debated about Santa Claus. For those regular listeners, there is a segment where the residents just got together and hang out, and we started a debate about whether Santa Claus was a criminal or not.
I knew from the age of 4 that Santa Claus was real, because I looked outside my window and my mom and dad would be different. And I woke my brothers up and said,
"No, I ain't no Santa Claus." Oh my gosh.
And that's the story of when Shakim ruined Christmas. So this is a segment I like to call, what's the weirdest lesson you've learned in your life? So mine was chocolate milk and curdle.
Hey, Daddy.
Yeah, bud.
I want a straw.
You want a straw? I don't know if we have straws.
No, they have the missing things.
The missing things.
Mix.
Oh, mixing things. Yeah.
That's true.
Those mixing things are good.
So, what you got, Hunter?
Well, I have a pretty good story, Mom. I'm gonna like. Give me a sec. Are you gonna get a story?
Oh, you go for it. I'm listening.
Stop. All right.
Oh, boom.
So. I was a new driver. Like, new, I mean, like, I've been driving for under 2 weeks by myself with my license.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to Kroger to pick something up for my mom on the way home from school. And I get there, turn my car off, and, like, my mom calls or someone would call me on the phone. And I decided to stay in the car and talk to my mom. So I'm just sitting in the car.
Yummy!
And then I try to open the door, and the door, like, isn't opening.
Can you hear the bell?
And it was really weird, and then I couldn't figure out, I had just gotten this car, and I couldn't figure out where the unlock button was, because it wasn't on either of the doors.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a really old Volvo.
Yeah.
So, you know, European made, things are in different weird places. The lock goes down inside the door, so I can't manually pull it up. So at this point, I just start panicking a little. So I'm like calling people, and no, my mom's not answering, my stepdad's not answering. At this point, I'm like, how did I get locked inside of a car?
That's special.
It is very special. So I'm like, nothing's working. This is so weird. Like, I'm like clicking every button, can't figure it out. Had gotten in and out of my car multiple times at this point. What had happened was that I just lost track of the unlock button. But also, for some reason, my door handle was just, like, I wasn't pulling it hard enough. So I was, like, baby pulling it. And I was like, it's not opening. And I contemplated literally calling 911 to say, I think I am stuck inside of my own car.
That's hilarious.
And then my mom finally called me back after I sat in the Kroger parking lot for, like, 45 minutes in the car. And she was like, just pull on the handle hard. And then I just, like, actually, like, applied pressure and it popped right open. So basically I was just, like, barely tapping it, and I needed to just grab the handle and pull the whole thing out. And I just thought I could, like, kind of do it. And I literally thought I was going to be locked in the car.
They cut the wheel.
And it was embarrassing because also I could have just crawled to the passenger side, but I didn't think about that. And then I look over and I notice there's a van sitting parked near me. And the guy in the van was waiting on someone and had been there the whole time I had been there. And he was like crying laughing because he had been watching me the entire time.
And not helping.
And was literally like, close call, huh? And I was just like, okay, thanks so much. And I just felt like a literal idiot. And then a few years later, I was telling the story at something, and someone sent me an email the following week that had a link to this. Have you heard of OnStar?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, well, they had a link to it. They called it BlondStar, where a woman literally called in saying she was locked in her own car.
No.
And then someone talked her through.
Like pizza?
Ooh, I love pizza. And then in the clip, the 911 operator is like, ma'am, look for something shiny. it's the silver door handle. Like, and talks her through this whole thing as she's panicking, and then she opens the door and it's fine. And they were like, this could have been you.
Mm.
Pretty embarrassing.
Mm.
And then that's when I learned you should probably just apply more pressure when you open doors.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to enter another segment just to, for your sake, to hit the other end of the spectrum. What's one of your proudest personal moments within the Cubicle Cast life?
Oh, man.
Look next to you.
I think.
Look next.
I'm trying to think of my own. Like, I feel like there is some of my proudest moments are when I came up with a really good jingle on the spot for commercials. It always felt good. Sometimes there were ones that were like, as it was coming in my head, I was like, this is gold, and I'm so glad that I get to be the one to say it. Hunter's enjoying her pizza as she ponders. There's just so many to choose from.
I think one of mine is definitely like when after the first episode, when we're like low-key asking Steven for permission if we're allowed to do what we're doing, yeah. But we were like already really committed in doing it, and everyone in the office was like in uproar.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, the after-school people were like, what's going on? The office people are having fun. Sounds like they're the after-school team. Like, they're partying. What?
Yeah. I think a collaborative prod moment is... You know, I think we've been intentional with what this was, what it wasn't. You know, part of the reason there's not a lot of post-production, and by a lot, there's none, is because we don't want this to interfere with our work, but at the same time, we know the value of building culture, building excitement, and having fun within a work environment, especially when it's as hard as the one we do. I mean, we're engaging in a lot of hard things, a lot of hard work. And so I was really proud of what the moments that Cubicle Cast could live into that most of bringing some levity and joy to the office, to folks listening, celebrating things, celebrating people. We had some focus interviews with like Jonathan and Libby.
Jonathan Jack at Stone Brewing was 10 out of 10.
That was good. I mean, they got into real development stuff. So yeah, and I feel like, you know, it'll be exciting to see just how people continue to live into that culture, you know. You know, when you work, have fun. Bella's sharing some things about sheep at the moment. They just had VBS this week.
The sheep are cute.
Hey, this is brought to you by VBS. If you want to learn a little bit about Jesus, go to VBS. and they did. I actually... it's been a busy day. I had a couple of meetings that I hadn't planned to have as of last night, but added to the docket this morning, went straight from that to picking up a twin box spring that's like apparently a new but high level, like had like a little bit of a curve to it, never seen that before. Like box spring, so I picked that up before it got rained on. And then I went and filled in as the Bible teacher for VBS. Hadn't been able to look at the stuff until this morning. Had to create a 15-minute curriculum, like, this morning while hanging out with the kids. I felt good about it. I lit matches.
Let's go. So we were teaching children to be pyromaniacs.
Had the kids sing songs, so it's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's the story of Paul and Silas, which was really cool. For those that don't know, the story of Paul and Silas is all they're doing is telling people God loves them. They're doing what God told them to do. And then they're wrongfully thrown in jail. But instead of just taking that as a hard thing and complaining, they knew they could praise God and they celebrated. And not only did that bring them joy and contentment in the moment, but then God literally shook the earth and saved the jailer and his family. So it's just, for me in my life, it was a good thing just to be reminded of how powerful God is and what he calls us to. And so... I enjoyed God's sense of humor in that space. And you know, the rest of the day, I've got a few more meetings while I'm watching the kids. And then the wife and I are going off on a 9th anniversary trip to the Blue Ridge. And then I will not be accessible to anyone.
Thank
I'm going
God.
Off the grid.
I'm so happy for you, Paul.
So,
You need this.
I need this. It's mm-hmm. gonna be good. I like going to the mountains too. I'm a
Where are you guys staying?
It's something like Sugar Inn or Sugar something, okay. something with sugar. Ironically, our longtime listeners know I've had a an interesting relationship with sugar this year.
You have.
So to state the place named after sugar.
Is it by chance the place that Chris Lee went with his wife?
I don't know. Sugar Tree Inn, maybe? That's what my mom's saying. I could search the email.
My name is
The Inn at Sugar Hollow Farm. All right, so there's none of the things I was thinking of. The Inn at Sugar Hollow Farm. So, hey, you know, look it up, check it out. Come find me if you want to learn more. Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Hunter, big lesson for this year.
What's that? Big lesson for this year.
Big lesson for this year.
Man.
Kind of threw that. You know, I do that to people sometimes. I'll just throw the big question.
I love it, Paul. Yeah, this place looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. I think a big lesson that I learned this year is to just stay in the moment that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And to show
30.
Up the next, the big 30. Like, can I stay in the 30-second moment and can I love people well? And just do the next small right thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge thing for me. In a world of more and a lot, but also in a world where, I don't know, I think all of us have some kind of ambition, but I think I was just born with, like, triple the ambition of a normal human.
Hashtag eight
problems. And, And speak of ambition and things, I'm going to be heading down to a place called Onsite that is a spiritual and emotional health retreat center.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, I don't know if you're familiar with Donald Miller and Bob Goff and Maria Goff, and a lot of those people, they've done weeks there. I just heard a guy named Miles Adcox runs it. It's incredible. People call it prehab. You go there before you need rehab, and you do, like, 6 hours of group therapy a day for a week and go off the grid and, like, really talk about deep parts of your story. And I'm not going to be there for that long, but I am going for 2 days, and then I'm going to be staying on site for 3 days after that, so I'll be there for about a week. And Bob Goff is coming in, and there will be... I'm going to hang with Bob Goff for 3 days with, like, 30 other people, so it's going to be a small group of us. And then part of it is that I get an hour with Bob. So I'm going to become friends with Bob Goff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting, and... we're going to, like, go on a walk together, and I want to talk about how he has lived a really ambitious life in a really healthy way.
Yeah.
And how he has navigated, like, having a family and a really big job, and what they've done, and what has worked for them, and hard lessons he's had to learn, and what his advice is to me, but also hoping to get some clarity on my entrepreneurial ideas and dreams that I'm starting to flesh out. It's kind of fun. Last night they emailed me a big, Google Forum survey. They're asking a lot of really, really interesting questions about the big dream, current setbacks, things I want to work through, things I want to talk to someone about. And it was fun to, like, write down on paper, like, this is the dream, and I don't fully know what this is going to look like, but, like, this is the heart of it. Because if I'm 24 and I'm not willing to stop for a week to, like, dig into the big dream and talk to someone about it, like, I probably never do anything with it. I don't want to just, like, do the next thing and do the next thing and do the next thing and do the next thing just because I'm, like, going on a wheel. So I'm excited about what this year is going to hold with discernment in a lot of areas of my life, I think. And I also think I'm just learning to hold things really loosely. Things change a lot really quickly in ways that you often wouldn't expect.
Truth.
And like, what do you do with that? What do you do with that when that happens? And what do you do with that with people that you love? And what do you do with that with, or even just like things that you believe and think about God?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you realize that you like believe something false about God or believe something that you're like, crap, Lord, like, how do you play into this thing? Or, like, what do I actually believe about this theology? It's hard to do the work of figuring out stuff out, and it's hard to let go of expectations and, I don't know, realities and pictures of the gospel that at one time were true and are still, parts of it are still true, but different depending on how you come to the church and all the things.
Yeah.
Like, we're always given some kind of flawed view of truth. So digging deep and being like, okay, what is the core truth? And, like, what are things that I need to put my flag in the ground about? And what are things that are like, okay, is it worth it to break a relationship over this kind of thing?
Yeah.
And what are non-negotiables for me? So, I don't know. I'm figuring out a lot of stuff and feeling excited and feeling like I've never been more myself and never known less about things. There's probably something to that too. So.
Well, and that's I would say that's the big thing I've learned is, our tendency is to feel like we have to know and understand all things.
Yeah.
But I've learned that, there's really two things that God is actually calling us to invest our energy in trying to understand. The first is who He is.
Right.
And then the second is who He's made us to be.
Right.
Because everything else you can't control. You can't control what people think of you. You can't control what people do to you. You can't control what happens in the world. Like, you can't control those things. We want to.
Oh, yeah.
We really do.
Sign me up.
We will fight for what we think should happen. And sometimes there is a place for that. But the first step I've learned has to be growing an understanding of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Growing an understanding of who He's made us to be and what He's called us to do. And then doing that no matter what.
Right.
One phrase that came to my mind earlier this year and has come up a lot is, we're so prone to define God by our circumstances rather than letting our circumstances be defined by God.
Right.
Because if you look at Scripture, somebody that took a circumstance approach would see the army is going to win and against us. My life is going to end in this furnace.
Right.
People are going to treat me horribly or kill me or destroy. But those that knew who God was and knew what God called them to realize that their circumstances actually didn't matter whatsoever. In fact, the worst of circumstances happened over and over and over, and God showed up in a big way.
Right.
And so, that's the thing that I've learned is, like, just bring it on.
Yeah.
Let whatever happens happen. As long as I know who God's made me to be and who He is and how He's going to work, He's going to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's cool to hear you, too. Like, we're about 10 years apart.
Yeah.
We're both exploring this idea of identity. And I think that's another thing I learned, too, is we are prone to believe that we can arrive. We can know.
Oh, yeah.
But it is an ongoing journey.
Yeah, forever.
And one of the big gifts and being just spending time with residents over the last 5 years has been to see that play out. The number of times I sat with a young adult and they shared what they were struggling with, what they were struggling to believe, and to see, like, I could speak into that because I was in that, I'm currently in that place too.
Right.
Maybe, 10 years ahead, maybe in a different scope, maybe with a higher, level of risk. And sometimes not, but it's been cool to see how it's just a continuing journey. And we have to continue to remember who God is, and continue to remember who we are, and continue to remember how God works, and continue to trust, and continue to fail, and then stand back up.
Right.
Paul says, it's not that I've arrived, or not that I have become perfect, but that I continue to run the race.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Hunter, it's been great. My kids are really energetic right now, doing really well, which means that they are right on the edge of turning the corner into losing their minds. That's how kids work.
Gosh.
There is no, like, gradual thing. It goes from, like, jubilee to they hate me.
Oh,
good. And it's cool because I love them. But,
Great.
Yeah.
It's
a sad moment, but, this has been a good...
Dreams come true.
It's been good. This started with a random comment. And landing the place where we're talking about God and how good He is.
It's so good, Paul.
So, Hunter, I've enjoyed this time.
Yay, me too, Paul.
And who knows what the future holds?
Yeah.
Who knows what podcast may be in the future?
Man.
But what we do know is God is God and God is good. And
when you're working,
work hard, play hard. And Josiah is our hero.
Bye.
Where's the stop button? Oh, all it takes. One time.